Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
Insurance fraud is no laughing matter, but some of the frauds people dream up are amusing. But not amusing is airbag fraud, which could cost you your life. We're going to talk about these issues and much more. My guest is James Quiggle. He's the Director of Communications for the Coalition Against Insurance Fraud. Jim, welcome to Of Consuming Interest.
Well, thank you, Shirley. It's great to be with you.
Now, I know your organization, you do such wonderful things because you're out there looking out for consumers, trying to keep our insurance premiums lower because insurance fraud costs a big bundle of money. Am I right?
Oh, insurance fraud is huge. We're talking a minimum $80 billion with a B a year. I mean, I can't imagine how many baseball tickets for a family of four that would buy, but probably for the entire city of Washington.
I would think, and maybe more too. That's horrendous. That really is $80 billion a year.
Well, not only is it that.
And it comes out of our pocket, doesn't it?
It comes out of your pocket. It comes out of your life. People die from insurance schemes. They're grievously harmed and injured by arson and insurance schemes. People lose their life savings and their dignity. They're depressed. They're thrown into despair. This is a full front-on crime here.
Yeah, it is. Let's talk about one of the recent ones that you all have been looking at. Well, you've looked at it, but some recent development about a Chinese operation involving fake airbags. Describe that for us, Jim.
Well, this is something that all consumers should be worried about. A Chinese national named Dai Zhensong took airbags from legitimate car makers, took them back to China where he has a factory, and he figured out how to reproduce these airbags so they look exactly like the bags by legitimate manufacturers. Then he tried to flood the U.S. market with these airbags. They were cheap knockoffs that cost a fraction of legitimate airbags, and cars these bags were being put into people's cars. And the worst thing is nobody really knows if they have them or they don't because they're hidden underneath a lid on your steering column. You might not know until you're in a crash, at which point really it's too late.
Were these being sold to manufacturers or were these being sold to repair shops? I've heard a lot of issues with airbag fraud that comes out of car repairs, knowingly or unknowingly by the car repair shop.
Well, there was a murky underworld of fraud that he was trying to cater to. He wasn't selling these to legitimate car makers.
Okay.
These were going to repair shops and wholesalers who were distributing them through, you know, dark underworld networks. We're talking hundreds of thousands of potential airbags right now.
Wow. That is really scary because you expect the airbag to protect you. And it's not going to work. It probably won't deploy. You know, I've heard stories of airbags having a wooden plank put in them just to give them some weight so it would feel like they were legit. Can you imagine what would happen if that opened up and hit you in the face?
Yes. And crooks have even put beer cans and tennis sneakers and cigarette cartons in the steering columns to create weight and the appearance of a real airbag.
Mm. So what if, as a consumer... If you're taking your – and the problem here, the vulnerability is at the point of having your car repaired. How do you protect yourself against it? Because if the airbag is deployed, it has to be replaced. Is that correct?
Yes.
So how do you protect yourself? I mean, I suspect that even reputable shops could be victims of airbag fraud.
Well, let me set that up by telling you what the feds found when they actually tested several of his airbags. They finally caught this guy, and they gave him 3 years in federal prison.
Is that all?
That's all, but hey, they're dismantling his whole network. The feds tested several of his airbags, about 11 or 12 of them. Well, here's what happened. Some only partially inflated it, but the scarier thing is that several of them actually blew up and spewed fire and shrapnel at the crash dummies.
Oh, my goodness.
One crash dummy even had a bolt lodged in its forehead.
Oh, my Lord.
Now, try to imagine you're driving on the highway and you end up with a bolt in your forehead.
That's not going to be a really good experience, I would say, to put it mildly. Talk about the understatement of the year. That probably was it. All right. So when you take your car into a repair shop, is there, now I know this is not your area of expertise, but is there any way that anything that consumers can do to make sure that that airbag that's being put in there is legit?
Well, one thing you should do is ask to see the receipt. Look it over carefully and see if there actually is in all that all the information a receipt for a new airbag from a legitimate car maker.
And that costs hundreds of dollars.
Well, they can cost easily up to $1,000 or more. Mm-hmm.
So if you're seeing an airbag being replaced for $100, you should be really suspicious.
Or if you see no airbag at all on all the receipts from mm-hmm. the repair shop.
I see. Okay, so ask to see where the repair shop purchased this product.
And even if it purchased the product. If it purchased it at a price that seems commensurate with its value.
You know, that is really scary. The guy should have been given longer than that. But, of course, they probably didn't have any track that they could track to see if he'd actually caused somebody to die.
Well, we don't know that that's happened yet. There's no evidence yet. But some people may be living on borrowed time.
Mm-hmm. You just don't know. Well, I'm sure that as that unfolds, you will have track of it, Jim, because your Coalition Against Insurance Fraud keeps on top of everything.
Well, this is especially true of people who buy used cars.
Mm-hmm.
Many times you're going to find that these shoddy airbags end up in used cars. And if I buy a used car from an independent dealer that is not affiliated with a legitimate car maker,
mm-hmm.
I would recommend hiring a certified mechanic to check out the airbag before you buy that car.
Can they really tell? Well, they'll know if the airbag has been replaced, but if it's a beautiful duplicate, would they really be able to tell?
Oh, a certified air mechanic knows how to do the test.
Okay.
They can see through the fraud easily.
Okay. So it's knowing what to look for is
the bigger
key
here. You don't know they do. That's why you hire the mechanic.
Right, right. So before you buy a used car, well, first off, you want to find out if it's ever been in an accident, right? And if it has, then you want to be especially vigilant. But you should always have a certified mechanic check out a used car, no matter what.
Check the history, see if there's an accident.
Right.
Even if there is no history, check it out anyway, because you just don't know what you're buying.
Right. Yep, that is so true. Well, that's good advice, because you and your family could be impacted by a fraudulent airbag. So you got to think about that. Anyway, we're going to take a brief pause here to let our listeners know that they are tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is James Quiggle. I call him Jim. He's the Director of Communications for the Coalition Against Insurance Fraud, and they work with insurance companies. They're a nonprofit organization, and their goal is to identify and help protect us against insurance fraud. And as Jim said in the opening, it's an $80 billion a year business that comes out of our pockets. So it behooves all of us. Now, let's talk about some of the notorious people who try to commit insurance fraud. And I know every year you all put out the Insurance Hall of Shame, which I hate to say I love it, but I do, because it is, your writing of it, Jim, is very amusing. But at the same time, I can't believe what some people dream up. I mean, people faking their own deaths, faking sinking boats. Tell us about some of them.
Well, the Hall of Shame really tries to dishonor the absolute worst of the worst
mm-hmm.
every year.
Mm-hmm.
These are the people that sink to depths that are lower than whales at the bottom of the Marianas Trench in the Pacific Ocean. That's how low some of these people are.
That's pretty low. And so what are some of the note? Well, now I remember one about the person who buried a tractor in their backyard and claimed it had been stolen or something. And, I mean, it's just incredible. So what are some of the notorious ones from your Hall of Shame?
Well, Shirley, it's easy to laugh right now. But
oh, I know. It's not funny. As I said, it may sound amusing, but it's not funny.
Well, that's exactly right, because if you're one of the firefighters that was in a building that was burning thanks to an arson fire set by Calvin Jones in Detroit.
Ooh.
I don't think he'd be laughing right now.
No, indeed not.
Seven firefighters were in the middle of this blaze when the building collapsed on top of them. Bricks and burning debris were raining down on top of them. One of them was paralyzed for life.
And what happened to the person who perpetrated the fraud?
Well, he's in jail now. He's got a good, healthy jail sentence. Several others had their bones pulverized by the bricks, not just broken, but pulverized.
Oh my God.
They will never work as firefighters again. And this is because of an insurance arson.
Was he trying to collect it? He owned the building, or what was he do? What was his purpose?
Well, he was the hired thug by someone who had an office in that building and wanted his own office destroyed so he could make an insurance payout.
Mm. Well, that's the ultimate goal, isn't it? All of these people are trying to collect, using fraud to collect from their insurance companies.
Well, that's true. They use fraud to collect from insurance companies, and they don't care if innocent people are hurt or maimed
in
the process.
Yeah, that's the biggest problem. Now, are you identifying trends and new things that are happening in fraud? Are people getting more creative? Does the internet play a part in this?
Well, surely the Coalition Against Insurance Fraud is always scanning the horizon for the next trend. We're trying to see what's new and what's happening. And certainly right now, we are seeing a fair amount of fake health plans being peddled around the country.
Okay, tell us about this.
Well, this is very perfidious. We have an economy that's not so good. We have a very high unemployment. People are out of work. They're looking for affordable health coverage to keep their family afloat in case there's an emergency. Well, crooks in a very orderly way are exploiting people's anxiety by peddling fake health insurance to people. They're offering generous benefits at what seems like an affordable price. And, what's not to like?
Right. So they're meeting your needs. They're selling you something that you think is going to protect you and your family. Well, are there some things that we should look for in plans like this? I mean, where does the consumer start? Because if you're talking about it, then I know it's out there and we want to avoid it. So how do you do that?
Well, the first thing you need to ask is this insurance licensed in your state?
Ah, good question.
Licensed and authorized in your state.
Mm-hmm.
One call to your state regulator can save you a world of hurt.
Well, that's a simple question, and that's really one you should ask of almost anything.
And if the insurance department says, no, we've never even heard of this plan, then you really have a problem here, and I would just back off and walk away.
Absolutely. And I think, too, probably it's giving you wonderful coverage at a very low cost. If they're not competitive in the marketplace, and by that I mean the prices, there should be some similarity in prices and policies. If someone's offering you one kind of policy for, let's say, $500 a month, and somebody else is offering you, and they promise you the same thing for $150, you better take a close look at it. Would you say, is that generally one of the hallmarks of what might be a fraud?
Well, surely some of them are getting a lot more clever because they know that people are getting suspicious, and they're asking questions. So instead of offering you the $150 a month special, instead they're offering a deal that's much closer to market level.
Oh.
So people don't get suspicious, but they say, hey, great benefits, guaranteed acceptance, don't worry about pre-existing conditions.
All those.
You're going to love this plan. Just sign on the dotted line here and you're set to go.
Yes. Well, is this one of those cases it just is too good to be true?
Well, people have shown up at the hospital thinking they had legitimate coverage.
Wow.
They ended up with operations. And they're tens of thousands of dollars in debt because it turns out that the plan is not real and the hospital is hounding them for payment of their bills.
Mm.
It's a terrible thing to have to face when you suddenly realize to your horror that you have no coverage at all.
Now, I'm more aware of businesses who have gotten bond insurance plans to cover their employees where they have found that the plan that they bought is a fake. There you're scamming a whole big lot of people at the same time. Is that more prevalent or less prevalent than direct insurance policies, individual policies?
Well, Shirley, it certainly is true that especially small businesses.
Exactly.
They're trying to find a good deal, too, especially for, you know, their 5 or 8 employees at the florist shop or mm-hmm. the wedding photography shop. And these people are, it's a really perfidious scam. They're telling these people to join an association mm-hmm. of say wedding photographers or for small entrepreneurs, so it looks, it has the feel of a group health insurance,
and it may be a just total fraud.
Well, the unions and associations are totally fake, and all they do is serve as a front to create the illusion that this is group health coverage.
Mm-hmm. These unions, we're not talking about unions in general, but you're talking about the ones that are set up specifically to sell health insurance policies to people.
Oh, yeah. They'll just say, hey, join this union of small business mm-hmm. owners of America mm-hmm. and or the Association of mm-hmm. Entrepreneurs of the United States.
So you have to be very careful and examine. And there again, going to your state insurance commission and see, and check it out online. Go online and just put in complaints or something in the name of the company. It's amazing what you can find out on the internet. I am totally astonished. Of course, that's also a vehicle for a big lot of fraud, which we're going to talk about in a minute. But let's just take a brief pause and let our listeners know that they're tuned in to Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Jim Quiggle. He's the Director of Communications for the Coalition Against Insurance Fraud, and they're out there fighting the good fight, identifying frauds and protecting us and working with insurance companies when they identify those frauds to get rid of them, to figure out ways to protect the consumer. So what are some of the other things, Jim, that we need to look out for? Fake health plans. We know about the airbags. That is a big issue here. What are some of the other things that are going on?
Well, I think people need to be aware that organized crime is becoming very, very involved in insurance fraud. This is no longer the crime.
Why am I not surprised?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's so much money to be had, and this is no longer the crime of little people making small dime a dozen claims. The mob is now in the backyard of insurance companies.
Well, now, for example, would they be involved in those traffic accidents where you've got a carload of people who pretend to be hit by somebody or set themselves up in a situation that you're going to hit them?
Well, some of them are staging crashes with cars.
Yeah. What is that? There's a word for that. There's a name that you've coined for those scams. What is it?
Well, I call it crash and run
or something.
Well, I you can call it, you know, crash for cash.
Oh, yeah. There you go. That's a good one.
And no, really, sometimes they're targeting innocent motorists who just happen to be driving along, minding their own business.
Mm-hmm.
They suddenly jump in front of them, put on their brakes, and of course you have to rear end them. You don't have a choice, really. You can't avoid it, and that sets up a huge amount of fake claims because the car may be packed full of people who pretend they're injured. And all this comes against your insurance policy.
And, of course, I know some of those have been – they've investigated and they found out there have been doctors in cahoots with this, lawyers. There's been a whole ring of people, a circle, the complete circle of all the professions that you need to perpetrate an insurance fraud.
Oh, yes. And you know, you make – when if you're ever involved in one of these accidents, take out your cell phone and start taking pictures.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. Take pictures of the damage, take pictures of all the people there, and that sometimes scares them off because they don't want all this kind of nosing around.
Well, they don't want their pictures out there, their faces out there. Well, even if you don't have a cell phone that takes pictures, then buy one of those little instant cameras and carry it around in your car. I mean, I think that's a good idea. I've been telling people to do that for years because, I mean, you just don't know. It always kind of... I find distressing that people will do such things, but they do. And you need to know that, and you need to protect yourself against it.
Well, yes, this is true. I mean, sometimes the car may have 2 people in it, but suddenly you have an insurance claim against your policy for 5 people. Now, where did those people come from?
They grew up in a hurry. They came out of the trunk. What else can I say? Well, I know that kind of fraud is something that you have to be aware of because it goes on all the time. And this is not new, right? I mean, this has been around for a long time, but you need to be aware of it.
That's true, Shirley. And something else that seniors need to be aware of are cold callers who are trying to scam Medicare beneficiaries.
You're going to lose your Medicare coverage. You're going to lose this. You're going to lose that. You've got to, it's terrible. Terrible. I had a call from a friend of mine the other day who got a cold call from someone who claimed to be with Microsoft. It wasn't Microsoft, but they told her that her computer was doing something. This is a very savvy friend of mine. They were so good. They convinced her that she needed to give them her credit card so they could do this repair work on her computer. She gave them her credit card. She gave them access to her computer. They told her that it was going to be $200 and some. When she got off the phone, she realized, I think I've been scammed. So she immediately called a technician to come out and take a look at her computer. She turned it off, did all the right things after that. Called her credit card company, learned that they had processed an over $600 charge against her credit card. So she stopped that charge, but it was a fraud. They were not with Microsoft. And she contacted Microsoft after that. But you have to be careful when you get cold calls. And I think that's the real key right there, isn't it? You know the other thing, Jim, that really bothers me? The fact that caller ID is no longer protecting you because these crooks spoof caller ID numbers, and it can say it's from your bank, it can say it's from Microsoft, it can say it's from anywhere. It's frightening.
It really isn't. So you simply have to be alert and quick on your feet when you get these calls.
Yeah, but you know, sometimes you're sitting there, you're at home, you're relaxed. You don't think a crook's going to come calling you on the phone. I mean, most of us, you know, we expect our phone to be used for friendly purposes. That's why we have it. Doesn't happen.
Well, no, certainly not with Medicare scams. They are calling seniors and saying, hey, I'm from the federal government, and we're going to issue a new Medicare card, a replacement card, and all we need is your bank account number and routing number so we can process the switchover fee.
Oh, wow. Wow. And you know what? The other thing I say to consumers, all right, so somebody calls you like that and you tell them you want to call them back. You want to verify this. Okay. Don't ask them to give you a number. Go independently find a number for the agency or whoever supposedly called you. Would that be good advice?
If you can find the number, all power to you.
If you can find it, that's right. If you can find a human being to answer the phone, that might be also challenging.
Well, they also tend to hang up quickly when they realize that you're not going to fall for this very easily.
Oh, yes. I've had more insurance offers from Rachel. No, I'm sorry. Rachel calls me about credit card rates. She calls me all the time. I'm on the do not call list. So to me, anybody who's making a cold call to me, I know immediately that they're crooks because they're not abiding by the federal law. I mean, that's simple.
Yep, it's simple. It's too bad, but too many people feel that seniors are easy targets.
Right, especially for buying insurance. They're convincing you that your Medicaid insurance, your Medicare insurance, they're trying to sell you perhaps a bridge policy or whatever. But you're right, Jim, and we're glad you're out there doing the good fight. What is your website?
Well, you can find everything you need to know about insurance fraud, the whole caboodle, at insurancefraud.org. That's insurancefraud.org.
Insurancefraud.org. And it's a wonderful website because you have the Hall of Shame, which people should read for alerts, as well as, let's face it, Jim, sometimes these frauds are amusing. They're not funny, but they can be amusing. But and scary. That's the other thing about it. So we're not here laughing about insurance fraud. I'm assuring you of that. Thank you so much for being with us again. It's always great to talk with you. You've been listening to Off Consuming Interest right here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. My guest has been Jim Quiggle, the Director of Communications for the Coalition Against Insurance Fraud. And I hope you've learned, watch out for, especially if you're buying a used car, you want to make sure that that airbag is actually a real airbag, and you really need to find yourself a certified mechanic to inspect that vehicle before you buy it. So there we are. And insurancefraud.org is the website. Thank you for joining us. I'm Shirley Rooker.
of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WUSA 9 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.